Evening, everyone. We're going to commence our meeting tonight by singing together the hymn number 199 in your hymn book. The hymn number 199, you'll find it on the page 256. It's a wonderful gospel hymn. It says, God loved the world of sinners lost and ruined by the fall. Salvation full at highest cost, he offers free to all. The hymn number 199, standing as we sing, and let us each one sing it out with all of our heart. Let's stand as we sing. Just look to the Lord in a word of prayer, praying for his help and blessing with us this evening. Our gracious God, our loving Father in heaven, we do gather, O God, before thee tonight in thy holy and sacred presence. And we thank thee, O God, for thy great love. We thank thee, O God, that thy word declares that God is love, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Father, we thank that thy love is eternal, that thy love, O God, is without measure. And Father, we thank thee that in thy grace and love and mercy, thou didst send thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to be our Savior, to save us from our sins. And Father, we thank thee for Christ dying on the cross. We thank thee, Father, for the shedding of his precious atoning blood. And Father, we rejoice, O God, tonight that there is forgiveness of sins through that precious blood. Thy word declares of Christ that in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of our sins. And Father, we thank thee that this is the great message of the gospel. Though it is old, we thank thee that it is ever new. And Father, we thank thee, O God, tonight that the blood of Jesus Christ, thy Son, that it cleanseth us from all sin, and that blood has lost none of its ancient power. And Father, we thank that the hymn writer could say, the vilest offender who truly believes that moment from Jesus, a pardon receives. Father, we thank thee for thy presence and blessings in nights gone by in this gospel mission. We thank thee for the going forth of thy word night by night. And we thank thee, Lord, that thou hast promised that thy word will not return unto thee void. And Lord, bless that seed that has been sown to saved and to unsaved hearts alike, as thou would see the need. But Lord, this is a new hour, and we realize we cannot rest upon past blessings. And Father, we pray from this opening hymn to the last amen, that we might know a gracious, conscious sense of the presence of the Lord. Father, shut us in with thyself, O God, tonight. Close out every thought and distraction, O God, that is not of thee. And Father, we pray that in everything that is said and done tonight, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, would be honored and glorified. Bless all who have gathered this evening. Bless every head bowed before thee. Meet the need of every heart and life. Bless thy people. Draw every believer closer, Lord, to thee. For any, Lord, in true times of trial or difficulty, strengthen them. Lord, others may be walking afar off from thee. Grant restoring grace, we pray. And Father, for any with us tonight, unsaved, unconverted, still under the condemnation and guilt of their sin, we pray that this night, O God, that thou wilt open up their hearts, even like Lydia's of old, and that this very night they'll take that step of faith, put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and rest upon him alone for salvation. We thank thee that thy word declares that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Bless the meetings as they would continue again tomorrow night and again in the final night and Sunday evening, we pray. We pray that the tide of blessing will rise. Remember our sister tonight who's come to sing. We thank thee for her. We pray that thou would bless her tonight and help her and bless the messages and song we ask of thee to our hearts. Remember again, Lord, thy servant who would preach thy word. Fill him afresh with thy Holy Spirit. Be mouth matter and wisdom unto him, we pray. Give him that liberty that comes from God. And Lord, may every word be as thus and thus saith the Lord. Give him that soul winner's joy, we ask of thee. Remember, Lord, those unable to come tonight because of age and sickness and infirmity. Father, bless them and minister to their needs. Those who mourn, who have suffered loss, recently comfort their hearts. And Lord, wherever thy word is faithfully proclaimed tonight, across the length and breadth of this land, now, Lord, bless every faithful effort in the gospel. Build thy church, extend thy kingdom. And even, Lord, tonight may there be great rejoicing amongst the angels of God in heaven over sinners repenting and putting their trust in the Lord for salvation. Abide with us now, we pray. Do our hearts much good. And bless us as we continue on before thee. Have thy way in every life, we pray. Remember, Lord, those listening in online as well, whoever they are, wherever they might be, speak to them through thy word. Meet them also, Lord, at the point of their need, we pray. This we ask and this we pray in our Savior's precious and worthy name. Amen. Now, we're very glad to have with us tonight our good sister in Christ, Mrs. Nora Morrow, wife of our evangelist. We welcome her in the Lord's great name. And she's consented to coming up here to sing. I was saying, hopefully you don't have vertigo or whatever when you come up to this pulpit. But we pray the Lord will richly bless her tonight as she sings. Thank you.
What the and I seem to walk alone, longing mid my cares and crosses for the joys that now are flown. If I've Jesus, Jesus only, then my sky will have a gem. He's the sun of brightest splendor and the star of Bethlehem. What though all my earthly journey bringeth naught but weary hours, and in grasping for life's roses, thorns I find instead of flowers. If I've Jesus, Jesus only, still will I the blessing share. He's the lily of the valley and the Sharon fair. What though all my heart is yearning for the loved of long ago, bitter lessons sadly learning from the shadowed page of woe. If I've Jesus only, He'll be with me to the end, and unseen by mortal vision, angel bands will o'er me bend. When I soar to realms of glory and an entrance I await, if I whisper Jesus only, wide will swing the pearly gate. When I join the heavenly chorus and the angel host I see, precious Jesus, Jesus only, will my theme of rapture be.
We do thank our sister, Mrs. Morrow, for coming and ministering in song, and we pray God will bless the words of that great hymn to all our hearts. Praise God, when you have Christ as your Savior, you have a friend that sticketh closer than any brother, one who's promised to be with you and help you in all the burdens and all the trials of life. We thank our sister for coming. She'll be coming a little later on again to sing for us. I want to welcome everyone this Thursday evening to God's house. It's good to see each one gathered in. I know it's a wet night and you'd be tempted to sit maybe at the fire at the house or at home. I'm glad to see you've made it out. And we pray the Lord will bless you tonight around God's word. If you're a believer in Christ, may you be drawn closer to your Savior. And if you're here tonight and you're not saved, our prayer is, our burden is, that through these meetings at this time of gospel mission, that you'll come to put your faith and trust and rest upon Christ alone for salvation. We do welcome those as well who may be joining us online. We thank you for listening in as well. We pray that God will bless you through his word tonight. Give again a special welcome to our guest evangelist, Reverend John Morrow. We've been blessed through his ministry this week, and we pray that the Lord will bless his servant again tonight in the ministry of the gospel and use him for his honor and for his glory. Do remember the remaining nights, please, of the mission tomorrow night. Friday night again at 8 o'clock is the meeting time, preceded by the half hour of prayer. If you can come, child of God, for that time of prayer, we'll be delighted to see you. And tomorrow night also our sister, Miss Joanne McCammon from Tandragee, will be with us to sing in the gospel. So remember the meeting tomorrow night. Pray for it. Do make it known and do all you can to invite and encourage and bring a friend with you tomorrow night on Friday evening. So do remember that, please. And then the final meeting of the mission, God willing, will be on Sunday evening. Again, it'll be at the earlier time on Sunday night at 7 p.m. And our brother, again, the Reverend Morrill, will be along tomorrow night and Sunday night in the will of the Lord to preach the gospel. So make the meetings knowing these final nights. Pray much for them and seek to gather friends and family and work colleagues in under the sound of God's precious and holy word. We're going to turn again in our hymn book, the hymn number 331. 331 on the page 310. It says, sing the wondrous love of Jesus, sing his mercy and his grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, he'll prepare for us a place. A great hymn reminding us of the hope of heaven. And friend, to be in heaven, you need to know and trust the Lord Jesus as your Savior. The Lord Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. 331, we'll stand again as we sing. Our sister to come again and minister in song, and then immediately after that the Lord's servant will come and bring God's word. Thank you.
have you counted the cost? Have you counted the cost? If your soul should be lost, though you gain the whole world for your own, even now it may be that the line you have crossed. Have you counted? Have you counted the cost? You may barter your hope of eternity's morn for a moment of joy at the most, for the glitter of sin and the things it will win. Have you counted? Have you counted? His mercy is open to you. Ere the depth of his love you exhaust, won't you come and be healed? Won't you whisper, I yield? I have counted, I have counted the cost. Have you counted the cost? If your soul should be lost, though you gain the whole world for your own, won't you come and be healed? Won't you whisper, I yield? I have counted, I have counted the
And the Lord again will bless that message to our heart. Very, very important to count the cost. Many people sadly only count the cost of being a Christian. But people need to count the cost of not being a Christian. For whatever it costs to be a Christian, I can assure you from God's word, it'll cost an awful lot more not to be a Christian. Cost you your soul in a lost eternity. We're taking our reading from the New Testament in the Acts of the Apostles and chapter 24. The Apostle Paul, false charges have been laid against him. He's brought before the authorities of the day, and he is called to give an answer for himself. And in Acts 24 and verse 10 we read, "Then Paul, after that the governor had beckoned unto him to speak, answered, Forasmuch as I know that thou hast been of many years a judge unto this nation, I do the more cheerfully answer for myself, because that thou mayest understand that there are yet but 12 days since I went up to Jerusalem for to worship, and they neither found me in the temple disputing with any man, neither raising up the people, neither in the synagogues nor in the city. neither can they prove the things whereof they now accuse me. But this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets, and have hope toward God, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and unjust. And herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men. Now after many years I came to bring alms to my nation and offerings, whereupon certain Jews from Asia found me purified in the temple, neither with multitude nor with tumult, who ought to have been here before thee and object if they had aught against me. Or else let these same here say, if they have found any evil doing in me while I stood before the council, except it be for this one voice, that I cried standing among them, touching the resurrection of the dead, I am called into question by you this day. And when Felix heard these things, having more perfect knowledge of that way, he deferred them and said, when Lysias the chief captain shall come down, I will know the uttermost of your matter. And he commanded a centurion to keep Paul and to let him have liberty, and that he should forbid none of his acquaintance to minister or come unto him. And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. He hoped also that money should have been given him of Paul, that he might loose him. Wherefore, he sent for him the oftener and communed with him. But after 2 years, Porcius Festus came into Felix's room, and Felix, willing to show the Jews a pleasure, left Paul bound. Amen. God will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word. Can we just bow and ask for the Lord's help? Heavenly Father, we give you thanks indeed again for the hymns that we have joined together in singing, for the message and song that have been rendered to us. And we thank you for your precious word. We thank that thy word is a living word, able to make us wise unto salvation through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray that you'll help us to simply divide thy word, and that thy word will find an abiding place in all of our hearts. Take away any distracting thought. Focus our minds entirely upon the Savior. Help us to behold him, the one who taketh away the sins of the world. And grant that this night our hearts will be truly blessed, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to take verse 25 to form the basis of our message this evening. And Paul, it says, as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled. And I want those two words to lodge in our minds tonight, Felix trembled, because the theme of our message is conviction, but no conversion. Conviction, but no conversion. And there are many people down through the course of human history sitting in meetings of this nature as we are sitting in this evening, on hearing God's word as Felix heard it, they also trembled being brought under conviction, but they were never converted to the Lord Jesus Christ. A gospel preacher and Christian writer of a bygone age said, "There are many sworn enemies of an individual's soul." Of course, we have one great enemy in the person of the devil. And sadly, many believe the devil's lie, feeling that God has now abandoned them and left them forever in their sin, with the result that yesterday destroys his thousands. But he said tomorrow destroys his tens of thousands, because his argument is the very opposite of yesterday. What he says is this: your brave vows, your wonderful promises, all your good intentions will never ever be fulfilled. Good resolutions that lull your conscience to sleep, and those are his deadly weapons. When I have a convenient season, he bids me say to the Savior, "I will call for thee," but sadly, that convenient season never ever seems to come. Tragically, many in our society tonight feel they have indeed missed God's opportunity of salvation, that the door of mercy is now shut, they are outside the pale of redemption, and their soul is beyond all hope, because that convenient moment never ever seems to come. And that's how it was with Felix. He said, "When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." And he did call for Paul, hoping that money might be given for him to him, but he never called for Paul again to hear the gospel. And there's three simple things that I want to leave by way of challenge to all of our hearts, both speaker and hearer alike. And first of all, I want you to notice his request. In the verse 24 of our reading, "And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith." He came with his wife, Drusilla. Now, we do not read that she made any request to hear what the Apostle Paul had to say. She had, of course, quite an unsavory pedigree. She had quite a dark history. Drusilla, of course, was the daughter of Herod Agrippa. He was the one who killed James, the brother of John. He was the one who went on then to imprison the Apostle Peter. He was the one who himself was suddenly smitten of an angel
The Bible tells me in Acts chapter 12, 23, that he was literally eaten of worms. Looking at the chapter, I question if Drusilla had any interest in hearing the gospel, any interest in finding out the way of salvation. She had been married when she was but basically a child. She had been married again when she was a teenager. And in this case, she had been lured away from her rightful husband to live in a sinful relationship with Felix. So there is no evidence in the Bible that she wanted to hear concerning the faith in Christ, which literally means she wanted to hear the gospel. Now, verse 22 shows, or verse 24, that Felix requested to hear Paul. He sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. You will notice in verse 22 that when Felix heard these things, having more perfect knowledge of that way. You see, at that time in history, Christians were not called Christians. They were first called Christians at Antioch. And that was a derogatory term. But prior to that, they were called people of the way or people of that way. And the Bible says that Felix, having more perfect knowledge of that way. In other words, he was not hearing the gospel for the first time. Felix would have come into contact with the gospel, I believe, in that he lived at Caesarea. And surely Cornelius there would have witnessed to him. But he has come to a very vital point, and he has asked to hear concerning the faith. That literally means, folks, he is inquiring about the specific matter of receiving Jesus Christ as Savior. I wonder, friend, have you ever come to that particular point in your life where you have asked concerning the faith in Christ, how you can become a Christian, how you can be sure of heaven, how you can know you're saved and saved for all eternity? Now, it's an amazing thing that a Roman governor is making such a request as to how he can become a Christian. He knew a lot about the way, but now it's down to asking, how can I be a Christian? I trust, if you do not know the Lord, that even tonight that will be your request. You'll make inquiry about your soul's salvation. Can I be saved? Can I be sure? And the answer from the scriptures is absolutely sure. But I want to move on from his request to his reaction. Because the Bible says, now after listening to Paul explaining the way of salvation, the Bible says that Felix trembled. What in the world would make any individual tremble after hearing the Bible preached? And it comes down to this truth, that God had spoken to his heart. He had been convicted of his sin. And now he's trembling in the presence of the Apostle Paul. And I believe with all my heart that that was God's moment for that man's life. You see, there comes a moment in all of our lives when God bids us make our choice between this world and his dear son. And that moment had come for Felix. Maybe that moment will come for you tonight. And if it comes, my friend, don't leave this place without the absolute assurance of God's salvation in your heart. People surely have lived long enough. And is it not time now to seek the Lord? Or maybe a child of God that has grown cold, is it not time for you to come afresh to the Savior? But whatever this man's trembling. Now, listen to the message that Paul spoke to him. He sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And the verse 25 says, and as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. Preachers generally drop their messages into 3 points. Well, that's not new by any means, because that's exactly what Paul did that day. He had a 3-point message. He preached of righteousness, he preached of temperance, and he preached of judgment to come. And when he had finished preaching, it is very, very clear that God was knocking on the door of his life. And the Bible tells us, of course, of the Laodicean church, where the Lord said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man, it doesn't matter what our background has been or what our sins have been. The Bible says the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses from all sin. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him. Paul preached about righteousness. Now, when we talk about righteousness here, folks, we are simply talking about right living or living right. That was something that Felix knew absolutely nothing about in his prior life. Historians tell us that Felix had been a slave. He had then been given his freedom. He had risen to the ranks of a governor through the influence of Claudius Caesar and his brother Pallas. He never, ever should have been a governor. He wasn't qualified to be a governor. He was cruel. He was ruthless. And he exercised the authority of a king with the spirit of a slave. Now he's made to face up to the record of his life. What a moment that is when it happens. And you know, folks, we need to face up to the record of our life. Am I right with God? You see, the Bible, or the Shorter Catechism, if you were brought up on it, says, what is man's chief end? In other words, what is man's purpose for being in the world? And it says man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. But we live in a world where man's chief end is to glorify himself and to seek and pursue every avenue of sinful pleasure. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. That is the philosophy of many. Now Paul says to him about righteousness, and he knows he's not living right, and now he's standing trembling. And the apostle took his message further, and he spoke of temperance. And in the case of Felix here, that was a reference to self-control in sensual matters. And Felix had never, ever shown any self-control in that area of his life. He would stop at nothing to get what he wanted. And again, historians tell us about Drusilla, that she was probably the most beautiful woman of her day, possessing a beauty that excelled the beauty of all other women. And Felix coaxes her away from her lawful husband to live in a sinful relationship with him. And when Paul spoke of temperance, he touched a very tender nerve. Felix trembles. And then he took it a step further, and he spoke of judgment to come. And as a governor, Felix thought that everybody was answerable to him and he was answerable to nobody. Now, there's many people, and that is their thought process. I'm my own man, I'm my own woman, I'll go my own way, I'll do my own thing, I'll make my own decisions. That is how they live. But my friend, you need to realize this, you're not your own man. You couldn't draw another breath without divine permission. For the Bible says, in him we live and we move and we have our being. And you need to remember this. When we've done all our living, there is a judgment to come. There is a God to meet. There is a maker to face. And now this man realizes that he is indeed answerable to someone higher and holier than himself, and he is answerable to God. And he trembles at that thought. Because the fear of God has now gripped his heart and his soul. We have a wonderful hymn in our hymn book. Years I spent in vanity and pride. And then the second verse says, by God's word, at last my sin I learned. Then I trembled at the law I spurned. And that's exactly where Felix is. He's trembling under conviction of sin. And then he does something tragic. My friend, I wonder, before we go into that area, you ever thought about the end of life? Ever thought about what lies beyond the grave? Ever thought about the day of righteous reckoning when God will judge the world in righteousness? You see, the Bible says man dieth and he wasteth away, and where is he? Now, these are things maybe in the midst of life we don't like to dwell upon, but listen, we need to consider our latter end. The Bible says it is appointed unto men once to die. Well, that's not a problem. But then that's not where the verse finishes. It is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, my friend, have you ever thought about the after this? After this, the judgment. And that's what Paul spoke upon, and that's why Felix is trembling. He realizes he's got to meet his maker. He's got to give an answerable to what he's done with Jesus Christ. He's got to face the reality of his sin. And he is concerned. Oh, I trust you're concerned about your soul's salvation, because the truth is this, after Paul preached this threefold message of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, and Felix trembled when he heard about those things, there is the evidence that God had spoken of his heart. He was near the kingdom, but he never came into the kingdom. He was concerned, but never converted. He was convicted, but never, ever converted. And what a tragedy that is. No doubt there were things standing in his way that day. And there were forces of opposition, no doubt, that rose against him. And that's how it is tonight. If God speaks to your heart, then I assure you, there will be forces of opposition that will rise against you. The devil will tell you, listen, you don't need to be converted. On the other hand, he might tell you, you do need to be converted, but not tonight. There'll always be a tomorrow. There'll always be another day. And we do not know what a day brings forth. And I believe one of the oppositions that he faced that day was Drusilla. No mention of her trembling, no mention of her sending for Paul to hear concerning how to become a Christian. There's no mention that she is in any way bothered about spiritual matters, and no doubt Felix, if he were to go through with this and he were to become a Christian, that would mean a change of lifestyle, and that would involve Drusilla. Sometimes company can be very costly. And there'll always be those who will stand in your way. But my friend, let me encourage you tonight to let nothing stand in your way of giving your life to Jesus Christ, no matter what others say, others think, or others do. You settle this matter with yourself personally and God. For 42 years, I walked the corridors of the Mies in McGabry Prison, sat down in the cell of thousands of men. And there was a young man, and I had a lot of contact with him, and he never missed a church service in the prison, and then he was released. And I lost contact with him. But one day at a particular place I was standing, and this white van pulled up, and that same fellow jumped out, and he was excited to see me, and I was excited to see him. And he says, "What are you doing here?" He didn't realize that I'd moved to Omagh, to the church there. And at that particular time, we were running a gospel mission. And that was a Friday, and I said to him, calling him by his name, "You should come to the mission." He says, "I will." And I bring my mother with me because I had contact with the family during those years because of difficulties that they had as a family. He found himself in prison because of his response to his uncle being blown up. And I said, "Listen, come tonight." He said, "John, I can't come tonight." I said, "Why can't you come tonight?" "Well," he says, "I'm romancing." Well, I said, "I'm delighted to hear that. Why don't you bring the good lady with you?" "Well," he says, "you know, she mightn't be that way inclined. And we always go out together on a Friday night. I said, you should come tonight. No, no, he says, listen, I'll come on Sunday night and mother will come with me. And he says, I pledge my promise to you. And I believe that he would have kept his promise. On Saturday morning, I listened to the news. And he had come out of his girlfriend's home, and three shots rang out. And he slumped dead at the side of his car. I'll not come tonight, but I'll come on Sunday night. Now we have, of course, Felix's request. He wanted to hear Paul about how he could get saved. Then there was this reaction. He trembled when he heard the gospel preached. And then you have his reply. He said, when I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. What folly. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. And what he was doing there, he was saying, not tonight, but tomorrow. Because he felt that he could organize the right time to give his life to Jesus Christ. That he could arrange the right moment to become a Christian. But he never could, and he never did. And I never read of him trembling again. The Bible says, today, if ye hear his voice, harden not your heart, for today is the day of salvation. For we know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor. It appears for a little time and then vanishes away. And God's time is always now, today, tonight, not tomorrow. Because tomorrow may just be eternity hidden from your view. Tomorrow, tomorrow, tomorrow. But tomorrow has no promise that it can give to you, for tomorrow's just eternity hidden from your view. When I have a convenient season. Friend, I must remind you in closing, you and I can only be saved in God's time and under God's conditions. God's time is always now. God's conditions are very simple. He says, if we confess our sin, he... My friend, you don't have to confess your sin to mortal man, priest, or preacher. If we confess our sin, he, the Lord Jesus Christ, is faithful and just to forgive us our sin. And we need to confess our sin because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the Bible says there's not a righteous man on the earth. And then he says, repent, which simply means to turn. Turn and be converted. Turn away from our past life, and in turning away from our past life, turn to the Savior. And accept him. Because the Bible says, he came unto his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them give he power to become the sons of God. Have you ever received the Savior in simple childlike faith? If not, why not this night? You read the story of a ship sailing out of Liverpool, heading for the jute mills of Calcutta in the year 1922, and there was a number of missionaries on board that vessel, and they were going out as missionaries to the mission field. One of the missionaries approached the captain of the vessel and asked, could he conduct gospel mission meetings on the Lord's Day, because travel was slow, and this was going to take about 4, 5, or 6 weeks. He was given permission to do so, and on the very first day, he, after preaching on what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ, a man came up to him and said, that took me back to my childhood days. My mother sent me to church and Sunday school, and I heard the preacher preaching on texts like that. What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? And I often thought that I should give my life to Jesus Christ. And the missionary said, well, why don't you give your life to Jesus Christ now? No, he says, I can't do that, because as the vessel comes into the different ports, we all go out drinking and all the rest of it. But he says, when we reach our destination, when I get to Calcutta, I'm going to give my life to Jesus Christ. I'm going to become a Christian. But you know, in those days, travel being slow, and many of those vessels were infested with different diseases. And he fell seriously ill. And the missionary went to see him and impressed upon him the need to give his life to Christ. But he kept saying, when I get to Calcutta, I'll become a Christian. But they buried him at sea. You plan to go to heaven, and rightly so. When do you plan to start? Tonight's an important night. Today, if you hear his voice, forget about tomorrow. Give your life to Jesus Christ and do it now. D.L. Moody, the great American evangelist, he said, often in his preaching, give your life to Jesus Christ. He can do far more with it than you ever can. And how true that is. Friend, don't go home without the Savior. Come to Christ, and you'll be absolutely sure. I challenge you tonight. Let us take you through the Scriptures. I will show you how you can be saved and how you can be absolutely sure. And may you come tonight. Amen.
We're just going to turn, please, in closing, in our hymn book to the hymn number 233. The hymn number 233 in the page 270 of the hymn book. I want to thank the Lord's servant tonight for coming and faithfully preaching God's word. And friend, tonight, if you're not saved, things are not right between you and God, then settle the matter tonight. Come to Christ. Trust Christ to be your Savior. Know your sins forgiven. If you'd like to speak to our brother after the meeting, he'll be no hurry away, but we'll be glad to open up the Word of God with you and point you to Christ alone, who is able to save you even unto life eternal. Hymn number 233, once again, the gospel message from the Savior you have heard. Will you heed the invitation? Will you turn and seek the Lord? We'll just sing verse 1 and 3 and 5. Verse 1, 3, and 5, along with the chorus, standing as we sing. 233, 1, 3, and 5.
Yeah.
Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank Thee tonight for Thy presence with us here in this meeting house tonight. We thank Thee for the hymns, the messages and song. We thank Thee, Father, for the faithful preaching of Thy Word. Lord, write Thy Word indelibly upon our hearts. Apply it effectually, Lord, to our souls. And Lord, we pray for any in our gathering tonight not saved, still not ready for heaven. We pray that even tonight they will come, put their trust in the Lord for salvation, know the blessing of sins forgiven, know what it is to be sure and to be ready for heaven. Bless Thy Word to this end. Speak on, we beseech of Thee. Take us to our homes in safety. Bless us tomorrow in Thy will. Return us again tomorrow night. And visit these meetings, Lord, with salvation, we pray. In our Savior's name we ask it. Amen.